Hello again, Steve Elzinga here. This is the coaching class. I hope it's going well. Again, I hope you're practicing the things that you're learning. It doesn't have to be in a coaching, a formal coaching situation. It can be you're out with friends, you're with family, people from the church, people at work. It's just a way of interacting with people. Generally, when we're with people, people tend to be giving ideas and thoughts to the people around them. People want to teach people stuff. People want to, hey, you know, I learned years ago that this is a way to go it. Or in my marriage, this is where I experience something. We gravitate towards wanting to help people with our thoughts. Especially when we see people struggling. When we see someone that's struggling, our urge is to come in and help them by informing them, number one, why they're struggling, what's going wrong, and what they can do about it. We want to mentor them. We want to teach them. We want to lead them. But coaching is not any of those things. It's coming alongside of someone and trying to help them take charge of their own life. Because a lot of times, you know, we give our advice to people and they listen politely, but then they go and do their own thing. The reality is, we hear so much advice, we can't even possibly take all of it in and do it all. And so people have learned to hear advice, and then it just passes right through, and they don't do anything because they don't own it. They don't own the problem, and they don't own the solution that you're suggesting. They don't necessarily believe in it. You believe in the things that you experience. You believe in the things that you come up with. You believe when you've been through enough pain, you believe that maybe there might be a better way to go, and you become more willing to do it. And the coach's job is to just help someone figure that all out. So we're in managing the plan of action. There's a decision to follow a goal in a certain area of life. Then we make a plan. And now you're trying to hold this person accountable to the plan that they've come up with. Well, what kind of management is part of coaching? Last time we looked at all the things that coaching is not. It's not shaming, it's not guilting, it's not directing, it's not leading, it's not pushing people in a certain direction, it's not sharing all of your experience. Well, what is it? Number one, coaching is making the client accountable to the decision to do something about some aspect of his or her life and the plan chosen to make it happen. Well, how does one do that? That was the question I asked last week. Here's kind of the basic accountability process. It's really sort of a feedback loop. Number one, the week before you met with a client, and remember, the goal is always to get towards some kind of action, some action goal, some plan of action. So you always want some plan of action before the next meeting. So you set that up. You told them, this is what we want you to do. So I met with a couple, and I was doing this coaching thing. Coaching isn't necessarily designed for marriage counseling, but I thought, you know, I'm going to try it anyway. Or at least a little hybrid of it. And so I got the couple to agree on a plan of action. And the husband, the wife was supposed to make lunches for the husband because the wife had been neglecting the husband and, you know, doing everything for the son but nothing for the husband. And this is what's something that the husband really would appreciate. And she doesn't like doing it. But anyway, she agreed. That was her action plan to do that. And then he had quit smoking a long time ago, but then he fell, you know, he started smoking again, and then he lied about it to her, and that hurt her and offended her because she came from a family culture where, you know, someone cheated on somebody, and so the whole trust thing was involved. So his plan of action was to, if he has the urge to smoke, that he should call her. So And so we sit down, and then we meet, and then, you know, as a coach, okay, so what happened? We had these plan of actions where the lunch is made, and, you know, the whole smoking thing, calling thing, you know, how did it go this past week? Okay? Now, I'm asking, you know, maybe it went well, maybe it didn't go well. I have to try to not show disappointment if it didn't go well, because, I don't want to be the judge. I'm just trying to help you do what you want to do. And maybe it's the thing you should do, and maybe it's not the thing you should do. So I'm just the mirror through which you can finally see what's going on in your own life. So I simply ask, well, what happened? Number two, ask for an evaluation of what happened as the client engaged in the agreed-to plan. So a question you might ask is, well, how do you feel about what happened? So when I ask them what happened is, well, she made lunches for him. So that went pretty good. And then there was a problem, and then she stopped making them the last few days. Well, she stopped making the lunches when he failed to do the thing that he agreed to do. He was supposed to call her. Here's what happened. He did call her. He had a bad day at work. And so he called her up, and he wasn't calling about the smoking thing. He was just calling because he was so frustrated with his day, he just needed to, you know, tell someone about how horrible this day was. But she's thinking that he's calling because he's tempted to smoke. But he's not saying that. Okay, he's telling her about his day, and she's like, well, maybe I should try to help him say what I think he wants to say. And so she said, are you calling because you're tempted to smoke? And then he got kind of angry about it, because that isn't what he, you know. Now he feels like someone's badgering him. And so he got kind of angry about the situation. And so anyway, so that became our topic of discussion. So what happened? So, you know, she says, I made these lunches, and then we had this blowout, and I stopped making the lunches. He had this, you know, I was just trying to help him, you know, if he's calling, because we just agreed about this. If there's a problem, if he's tempted, he should call me. And so here he is calling me, but he isn't saying anything about the smoking. So I'm trying to help him, and then he gets upset, and so, you know, that's the second question. You ask for an evaluation of what happened. Okay, there's what happened, but now, how do you think about this? So then they each give their perspective of what's going on. He's feeling like, you know, hey, I just called. I just needed to tell someone about it, and then I feel like, you know, I get jumped on, and you're thinking the worst of me, you know, and then. And she's like, you know, I'm just trying to help you out. I was concerned. This is the agreement that we had. I thought, here you are calling, but you don't dare say something. And I don't want to get into the situation we got into before where you felt, you know, you couldn't tell me. And then you ended up lying to me, and that hurt me. So, you see, they both had good intentions. They wanted to do the thing that they said they were going to do, and they tried to do the thing that they said they were going to do, but there was some miscommunication, some problems, and this is what happens. Life doesn't just flow. Things don't just go the way you expected. So, step one, ask them what happened. Very simple. They tell you what happened. Now, they can say a bunch of negative things, they can be positive, it can go back and forth. You have to stay neutral in this. You can't jump to one side or the other. You know, I'm tempted to, when they're talking, to come up with a solution. I know exactly how he felt. I could have jumped in and said, well, I know how he feels. He feels like you're thinking the worst of him. And you're like nagging him. If he wants a smoke, he told you he would call you and tell you he would tell you that he's tempted. And he didn't tell you, so he isn't tempted. Take him at his word. He's feeling like he's being second-guessed. You know, and she's, you know, and for her side, I can tell him, well, look, she's been burned before by you where you didn't tell the truth. So she doesn't know whether you're going to tell the truth or you're not going to tell the truth. She thinks if I don't bring this up, If I don't ask about, you know, whether you're calling because you're tempted to smoke, then you'll talk for a while, we'll get off the phone, and then you'll smoke. And then you'll lie about it. And then I'll be even more hurt. So, but instead of me telling them these things, I ask them to think about it. You evaluate the situation. Number three, ask what they've learned about their engagement with the agreed-to plan since the last meeting. Can you tell me what you've learned about your plan to do whatever it is as you engage in the activities that you carried out? Okay, so, you know, what have you learned? So they had to talk about it for a while. They kept talking back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth, trying to understand each other. Finally, you know, after they listened long enough, they understood that neither one wanted to push and shove the other. Neither one was thinking the worst of the other. Both were trying to do the best thing to make the relationship work. It's just that they both misunderstood the intent of the other. Number four, ask your client if he or she wants to change the agreed-to plan in any way based on what was learned in trying to carry it out. Okay? So you first ask, it's a simple question, what happened? Then you ask them to evaluate what happened. After evaluating, now all these things take time, and you have to patiently, you know, try to draw all these things out. Ask questions like, what do you mean by that? Can you explain more about that? Anything to get them keep talking about the situation. The more people talk about it, the more details come out. And the more people understand really what happened and what's going on and how things were understood or misunderstood. Okay, then finally, after if you've spent enough time on that, okay, now what have you learned? See, and you don't have to sum it up. You don't have to say, all right, this is what I think we've learned. See, that's the counseling thing. Let me tell you what we have learned here together. No. You hold off. What have you learned? What have you learned? And what would you like to change if you'd like to change anything? Okay, you had a plan, you hit some bumps in the road. You've looked at it, you've evaluated it, you've experienced something. Now, do you want to keep the plan exactly the way it was last week? Or do you want to tweak it? Do you want to throw it out? What do you want to do for next week? What would you like to change or amend in your plan of action because of the things you learned in trying to carry it out? Number five. Ask your client what he would like to try to carry out before next meeting. Okay? What specifically would you like to attempt in regard to your agreed-to plan of action before our next meeting? Okay, so with this couple, you know, they evaluated. They understood that, you know, we sort of misunderstood one another. And then I said, okay, so for next week, how do you want to go with the exact plan you had before where you bumped into some, you know, problems, misunderstandings? And they said, no, let's tweak it a little bit. Okay, so how do you want to tweak it? Well, there was sort of this ambiguity when he called. You know, he was calling just to talk, and she thought he was calling because they said he should call if he's tempted to smoke. And so what he wanted, and he articulated it well, is he said, let the onus be on me. Let me be the one that brings up, you know, whether I'm tempted to smoke or not. You don't have to guess when I start talking to you that that's the reason why I called. You don't have to try to help me out because I don't want to tell you this and I feel embarrassed because I am tempted to smoke. I am going to take ownership for this thing. If I call and I don't talk about it, that means I'm not tempted to smoke. If I am tempted to smoke, I will be the one to tell you. And she said, okay, I will agree not to bring it up if you don't bring it up. So, you see, in the first instance, we didn't have that as part of the agreed upon plan. We didn't know that you had to have that. Okay? So that's planning sort of, you know, it carries on and changes through experience. You come up with the best plan that you can at the time, But then you go out and try to make this plan happen, and then you find out what the real problems are. And so give your client or clients the freedom to adapt and change the things that they want to do. In fact, help them expect that this is what's going to happen. You're not going to be able to figure it out all ahead of time. There's going to be a little bit of figuring out as you go along. All right, that's enough for this time. We'll see you again next time.